Welcome to the Imperfect Church Podcast, a podcast for the imperfect church and the imperfect pastors that lead them.
I'm Ryan Reed.
And I'm John Martin.
And we're back.
It took us a little while. We started doing this at 8:15. It's 8:48.
Yeah, but hey, we're back. You know, it took... inevitably, when there's a movie made about the Imperfect Church podcast, this season that we've been in will be that emotional gut punch of a season, which I don't know behind the scenes is that John got so mad at me that he gave away his podcasting stuff. He gave up on podcasting, at least with me.
I think we told that story though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, you know, he had to have a time of healing.
That's right. Yeah.
And
a long season.
That's right. A long season of healing. I was a little worried because John has been running a pretty successful podcast somewhere else without me, you know.
I haven't been running that podcast. I'm just there, man.
Oh, you're the personality. So
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So but yeah, we encourage you to check out Around the Table. Around the Table. Do y'all have a tagline?
No, I don't think so. If we do, I wouldn't know it.
You had a couple of taglines you were trying to run across about Mississippi?
I don't know. I'm sure you're going to tell me about it.
I don't know. You had things like from the Delta.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You had a bunch of them.
Yep. Cotton to the Coast.
Yeah, okay. I don't. Did that get scrapped?
Yeah, that one got scrapped pretty quickly.
I would say so. Yeah, yeah.
Cotton to the Coast. I forget what all they were, but yes, I did have some of those. Yeah, but nobody likes my creative ideas. I don't really understand why. But
you know, from the state line to the state prison.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. All right. Well, man, it's good to be back. Hopefully to be a little bit more consistent with recording. We talked about this morning about putting it out instead of weekly, doing it bi-monthly.
There you go.
That's just fancy way of saying
every other week,
once a fortnight, you know.
so other week is not the same thing as bi-monthly, though.
John, I'm speechless. I don't.
I mean, because you know there may be more Tuesdays in a month than four.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
There are some months I've heard. There are some months that have 5 weeks.
5 Sundays anyway.
5 Sundays, yeah. So 31 days, some of them do. And I think there's a month with 28 days. This is the content people have missed right here.
They're this is so good.
Well, tell us kind of what you've been doing since we last recorded. We last recorded, what was it, last fall almost? It's almost been a year.
We have finally moved, right, to the...
That's right. You're sitting in your new house.
I'm sitting in my house, right, this morning. And my daughter started a new school Monday, so that's fun.
Yeah.
Last Monday. And moved my son to college.
Yeah.
Lots of crazy stuff going on in the life of the Martins. But you, since last fall, have had a great life change as well.
That's right. We had a baby. Annie is here. She's a great baby. Sleeps well, eats well. No complaints there. She likes to smile. So right now we're G-hauling. So we're doing good. And the other two kids have done really well, being good big brother and big sister. So
yeah, Knox is in school.
Knox is in school. Started first grade, playing a little baseball and having fun. Knox got baptized. He trusted in Jesus, got baptized since the last time we recorded. So that was awesome, a privilege to go through that. Yeah. And Lottie Ruth is just a growing up and as stubborn as ever. So,
yeah, like her daddy.
That's good. She gets it from somewhere. So, so John, what are we talking about today other than recapping our lives?
Today we're going to talk about... Christian friendships, or as I like to say, biblical friendships.
I
think we, if you look around the world today, I think that we see that the idea of biblical friendship has kind of waned a little bit. I think that especially as you and I run in the circles of pastors, right? We look around and we recognize that there are a lot of guys out there because of their ministry context, maybe, but even because they don't recognize the value of it, they just mm-hmm. are living life by themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that that was the way that it was intended, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of biblical friendships is something that has become really interesting to me, especially in the concepts or in the study and thought about men's ministry.
Yeah, and discipleship.
And so I think that it's worth talking about. You know, is it biblical for us to have close friends, and what is the value in that mm-hmm. and such?
Well, I think the issue of the lack of deep friendships is not just a problem within the church.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a problem in our culture writ large, especially with the rise of social media. I think we're seeing that social media that's supposed to bring us together has actually pushed us further apart from having genuine, true, deep friendships. That's not, we don't want to blame social media as the boogeyman.
Yeah, sure.
But I think that is a factor.
Yeah, so I have just some statistics here. You know, I like to throw around a good statistic.
Oh, throw me a statistic. Are these fact-checked?
Yes, these have been fact-checked. So,
okay, sure. Trust is on that.
Yeah. I ran across an article that was written June 29th of 2021. And then the title of it is Men's Social Circles Are Shrinking. And but it does talk about ladies as well. It says, in the past three decades, American friendships have become smaller, and the number of Americans without any close confidants has risen sharply. But it's not affected Americans equally. Men appear to have suffered a far steeper decline than women. 30 years ago, a majority of men reported having at least six close friends. Today, that number has been cut in half. Slightly more than one in four men have six or more close friends today. 15% of men have no close friendships at all, which is a fivefold increase since 1990. So legit, I mean, we're seeing a decline in friendships among Christians, but also, as you said, among Americans in general.
Yeah, and you think, if you, especially when you go to these pastor conferences and whatnot, it seems like the language that we use would indicate otherwise, because everybody's my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We throw around that word. This is my dear friend, my close friend. Yeah. And I wonder how often we just use that term to mean this is a person I like.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking
as you were talking about social media, you know, I wonder, and I've not thought this out, but I wonder what role Facebook has played in that, because you know,
what do you call the people that you're connected to on Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely, they're your friends, right?
That's right.
And really, they're acquaintances, if they're even that, right?
Right.
And so, I think maybe we have lost the definition of friendship.
Yeah, and I've found myself telling a story and saying a friend of mine, and what I mean by that is someone I know on Facebook posted.
Right.
I don't know them. But they're.
Right.
We were friends on Facebook, and we may run into each other here and there, but there's not a deep friendship there yet. If I were to begin a sentence, I catch myself saying a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And so what's your solution to this problem there? John, the Baptist Building men's ministry friendship expert. How do we solve this?
Well, I would say, first of all, I think we need to understand that if you look throughout Scripture, you're going to see that there were friendships throughout the Scriptures. And, you know, I like to use David as an example, because you have David, and you have David and the relationship that he has with Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
Which obviously they were friends, right? They were closer than acquaintances. And I think we need to look to Scripture and say, hey, if this was something that we see a pattern of, maybe then we should try to implement that in ourselves, in our own lives as well. You know, and think about the New Testament. I was preaching this past Sunday on the passage of Scripture when Peter was restored. And, you know, before Peter's restored, they're all, the disciples are standing around together, right? And one of them says, hey, I'm going fishing. And they all go, well, we'll go with you kind of deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And they get in the boat and they go fish and they're unsuccessful, right? They find Jesus on the shore cooking fish for them. But the thing that spoke to me about friendship is that those disciples, they apparently, even after the resurrection of Jesus, they were still together. Mm-hmm. And right. they were, you know, I hate to use the phrase hanging out together, mm-hmm. or as you love, living life together.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, you like
we need to have a button for that. But I think you're right, though. They had shared experiences that had knitted them together. And that's friendship is, right? It's shared experiences, shared interests that knit us together. And the reason why I believe it's important is not just because we see it as a pattern in the scriptures. We see it as a pattern just simply with what it means to be a human being, right?
Yeah.
It's not a praise song. But the truth shows up in Simon and Garfunkel's, you know, I'm an Island, right? I'm just saying, you see this in secular society. You don't listen to Simon Garfunkel?
I don't.
Man, that's a shame. I don't know, John. I feel like our friendship now is being stretched.
Yeah.
But you see this in areas where the gospel has not gone. There's still friendship because mm-hmm. God has created us to build relationships, right? God has not created us by ourselves. In fact, the first negative proclamation in the scripture is that it is not good for man to be alone.
Right.
That is in the context of God providing a wife for man. But I think the overall principle holds true that we need relationship.
Yeah. And I think you see that as well in that image of the disciples, but even further than that, I mean, Jesus in his great wisdom forming the New Testament church, we see, you know, of course, in the church at Corinth, we've got this picture of, hey, everybody is unique. They have unique callings. They have, mm-hmm. they're called to unique tasks, and together they're going to be able to accomplish more. And so, you know, even the picture of the New Testament church is, hey guys, you don't walk this path by yourself. You walk it in company with other people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think too, we would recognize, and maybe it needs to be said, everybody that's in the church where you serve is not going to be your friend, right? That may be your brother or sister in Christ, but they're not going to be your friend. I think when we talk about friends, we recognize the pattern that exists, but also a friend is really a deeper relationship than just a fellow brother or sister in Christ.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about not only are we created to have friends, not only do we see this in the Bible, but what are some benefits to our Christian life when it comes to friendship?
Yeah, well, you know, the one that automatically comes to my mind is accountability. I mean, you know, we just this morning, you and I. So, for those of you that don't know, Ryan and I use the Marco Polo app.
I love when old people particularly add the definite article in front of things that don't require the definite article.
Like
I went to the Kroger's the other day, and my grandson got on the Marco Polo and sent me one of them video messages.
Oh, but it was good because we were having a conversation with Matt and Brian, or actually not Matt, with Brian, and Brian made a comment. And then, you know, I came back on and said, let me make sure I understand what you're saying, right? Because if he were saying what I thought he was saying, I was saying, hey, Brian, that's a bad idea, right? So, and I think that one of the great benefits of having friends is that you can tell each other when you're about to step into a place that may not be wise.
That's it,
And that may be the greatest benefit of friends. I don't know, but...
Yeah,
we used the biblical term accountability. But.
Right, right. I think about so my sister-in-law is getting married next month, and she is the only one of the four sisters that's not marrying a pastor. So it's not a surprise to anybody. She said that very young that she wasn't going to do that. She wasn't going to marry a pastor, and my father-in-law said she was very wise. So she's found her a nice young man, a strapping young man who is an accountant. So I think he's going to keep us all out of jail, I hope. But I remember when they first started dating, this would have been, I want to say last maybe last year, if not the year before that. And it was around December, my sister-in-law's birthday. And my wife and her family are huge, huge on birthdays. Like, you better take those seriously. And I'm telling you, they had been dating for maybe a month, maybe. Yeah. And we were all at my mother-in-law's, and the girls were talking about, what was this young guy going to do? What was this guy going to do for her birthday? What big surprise did he have in store for her birthday? Mm-hmm. They had only been dating for a month. And I said, guys, someone needs to warn him. Like, he has no idea. He's expected to do this. Yeah. He's walking into a trap. And you know what I did?
Called him.
I did not. I didn't know him. I wasn't friends with him. Now, today, if I knew that, I'd text him and say, hey, man, just a heads up. That's this may funny. Help you out, because I built that relationship with him. And that almost ruined it. There is a alternative universe where that ruined their relationship and they're not getting married next month. But I told him that afterwards. I said, man, I'm sorry. I should have called you and let you know something. Yeah. He said, yeah, you should have called me and let me know. So, you know, that's one of those conversations where if I were closer to somebody, I would be able to have that. Or there's somebody in your life that can warn you that you're stepping into a minefield.
Yeah.
And we see that whether it's in the church or whether it's at our jobs, somebody that is willing to say difficult things to you that can be received. There are a lot of people that are willing to say difficult things to you.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's going to be received.
Yeah, that's so right.
Cultivating that accountability relationship where you can have someone like a John Martin tell me, Ryan Reed, that I'm being an idiot.
Yeah, that's not a very wise choice. Yeah. I would say as well, and you know, this has been true in your life. I know you and Jordan went through a difficult time. You know, you had a miscarriage, and I think that was one of those things that you were able to share not only with our group of friends, but with other groups of friends that you have as well. And I hope that in the midst of sharing that you were able to find some comfort and support. And all of us have been in different places in life where we've really just needed to tell somebody, you know, that we've got a burden, that we've got something that's on our heart, and just to know that they were there to listen and that they're praying, if nothing else. And
that's
so
right.
I think, you know, the accountability is good, but also just the support in the midst of a struggle or a difficult time. I can't imagine going through life without anybody that you can share those difficult things with.
Yeah. And that is not relationships like that don't happen through osmosis.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. You just can't go to sleep and hope that when you wake up in the morning, you'll have a deep relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
Right. It takes cultivation, and it takes a little bit of humility in our part. You talk about specifically men and men's discipleship. I think for me, at least, or stereotypically for men, we have a bad habit of being loners,
right?
Of seeking to accomplish things on our own, whether it's getting the groceries in or whatever else. We say, no, I got it. I'm fine. And so to be able to open up and say, all right, look, I'm weak in this area. I need people to come around me. there's that aspect of it, but also, one of the things that I don't think when we talk about friendship enough, we talk about the benefit it is to us, but there's also a benefit to others when we decide we're going to be genuine friends.
Yeah.
So there's a mutual benefit there. It's not just for us. It's better for the entire community of faith when we do this.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I think that encourages people, like whenever you are willing, because of a relationship that you have with them, to share something that is a burden.
Yeah.
To you, when you're willing to share that with another person, it does say to them, hey, I trust you, I believe in you, and that's confidence building.
That's right.
In
that's
that
right.
Person. And well, go ahead.
Yeah, and also I would say even within churches, I think it strengthens the kingdom when churches and a community can have pastors that are friends.
Yeah, right.
Right. If we're going to talk about being cooperative Baptist, then the way that we show that we're on the same team is that we seek to build out those friendships.
Yeah, you know, you and I know that's not a very popular opinion.
Or it's
historically,
not.
Historically, it's not been a very popular opinion.
Yeah.
And I hope that that is something. I think it is changing. I think that mindset has shifted. That we no longer tell pastors, "Hey, you can't have friends in the church."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's good.
One of the things that I've learned about Calhoun County is that God Almighty Himself put a river splitting the county into two. And there is Calhoun City to the south of the Skuna, and there's Bruce to the north. And if God put that river there, there's a reason for it. There's a divide in between that, or at least historically there has been, whether it's with sports or whatever else. And just recently, yesterday, I was talking to the pastor at First Calhoun City, and we've become good friends. He grew up in our church. His brother and his dad are deacons here. And he mentioned to one of his church members something about going to Impact Training, good commercial for that. And he said, First Bruce has got some room in their van they're taking if anybody wants to come. And someone said, are you friends with the pastor at First Bruce? And he said, yeah, I'm friends with the pastor at First Bruce, you know. And I told him, I said, look, man, God Almighty put a river there. You don't need to cross that river. Yeah, we ain't friends, right. You know. But no, it's good for cooperation to say, look this we're extending across these lines, and their victory is my victory.
That's right.
And we don't need to look at another church's victory as if it's our defeat. That's not the way the Lord works.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about that that aspect of how men are kind of loners. Yeah. And I like to say, because I was raised this way, you know, my dad always wanted us to try to figure things out on our own. Right?
Yeah.
That was kind of a, you know, that's how you grow up as a man. You learn how to do it yourself kind of deal. And that's very beneficial, I will have to say, you know, in the midst of my leadership style is being able to figure it out myself. But, man, the blessing that we miss whenever we live life and everything that we do right by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say when I do a wedding, and I know friends aren't married, but when I do a wedding, I say, you know, your sorrows are halved and your joy is doubled. You know, when you get married.
Mm.
And that's true for friendships, I think, as well.
Yeah,
you know, when you decide, hey, I'm not gonna have to figure this out on my own. When I'm not gonna have to walk this path by myself, and I share it with other people, it doubles the joy, right?
Yeah,
and it halves the sorrow. And so whenever we look at a church across the river and they're baptizing a new believer,
mm-hmm.
right? That should bring joy in our hearts.
Right.
And whenever we get to watch you younger guys have children, right? I mean, that brings joy to our heart.
Right.
Because we're friends. We get to see that and celebrate with you. And so truly, I think we all need to work harder at gaining true
friends.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I would say specifically, I know we have a lot of people that listen to our podcast. We don't have a lot of people that listen
to
our podcast.
There.
What I mean is that a significant number of people that do listen to our podcast are either pastors or deacons, right? Or church members. Yeah. And I would encourage that there's been historically at least the perception that the relationship between deacon and pastor is simply one of business and ministry.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. We worship together. We serve together, but that's it. And one of my constant prayers is that, specifically with the deacons in my church, is that the Lord would cultivate a friendship so that I would be able to call them friends. And by God's grace, He's done that with not all of my deacons. Would I say that we're friends that communicate every day? But you know, one of the ways I think I've been wrestling with this idea, the way that John and I became close friends. I think before 2020 and the pandemic, John and I were friends. We had done the podcast together, so we were closer friends. But what deepened our relationship was that when the pandemic hit, we all got on the Marco Polos. We have been doing a group message, but that technology allowed us to communicate more frequently and to have deeper conversations. And so, using technology, whether it's a group text or whether it's a shared interest. You know, coming up is going to be fantasy football season, and I found I'm able to develop relationships over people that are interested in that, whether it's in the church, and say, hey, look, we're going to do a football fantasy football league. So if you want to join in, join in. And then coupling that with a group text where you can trash talk or whatever else, but it just, it makes that avenue for friendship. And then you have something to talk about on Sunday morning before you preach. You can mention it to them. It's a superficial thing that can become significant if we cultivate it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we did, you know, throw a little shade on Facebook, and you know, Facebook obviously has not done a whole lot of good for friendships because mm-hmm. now they've all become kind of artificial. But there are technological means that you can use, just as you've been saying, that will benefit your friendship if used appropriately.
Right.
Mostly those are means of communication, right? Which you can do through the text messaging or
the 5Gs.
Twitter, I guess. Uh-huh. Yeah. So. I mean, but certainly that's been a benefit for us in our relationship. We utilized it appropriately.
Yeah, and I would say even the medium of podcasting, there's podcasts that I listen to regularly, and I feel close to those people even though they don't know who I am.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because there's something about communication and genuine communication that does build up those things. And so I know that may be difficult for us to have genuine conversations with people. And we say, well, how do we start that? You don't want to Sunday morning. You want to be like, hey, what do you think about this heavy topic here? You know, we don't want to jump in with a crazy topic, but you have to work at it. It's kind of like chipping through a mine. You have to keep digging before you get to the gold. And it may start with something superficial that you are connected mm-hmm. with. You know, our Dead Man Talking can come from C.S. Lewis today, where he talks about how does a friendship form? Well, a friendship forms when you meet somebody that likes something that you thought you were the only one, and you respond with, oh, you too?
Yeah.
And that's something that interest then becomes a platform.
Yeah. Yeah. What book was that in? I read that book.
You read that book. Surprised by Joy.
Surprised by Joy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. We're out of time.
We're out of time. All right. Well, we're
at 27 minutes. 27
minutes.
Seconds.
People are done already. Yeah. Well, John, what are you reading?
So I want to mention a book that talks about friendship, and it's not what I'm reading right now, but I finished reading it a couple months ago. It's called Iron Sharpens Iron: Friendship and the Grace of God by Michael A. G. Haken. The guy doesn't have that many names. Michael A. G. Haken.
You haven't seen people with two middle names?
No, uh-uh. So
really?
It'd be interesting.
That's a common thing.
Figure that out. Really?
I mean, it's not like super common, but several people do it.
So anyway, the book that he writes talks about a historical picture of friendship throughout early church history. And he talks about how he believes, and I agree with him, that friendship is a grace gift from God. So that's a great little resource.
That's good. So is that what you're reading right now, or did you finish it?
No, I'm done with it. I don't do a whole lot of reading these days.
So you're not doing any more reading? So no, John has graduated from reading. We'll still do our what are you reading segment, so John can tell us a book that how he's not reading. Or the fact that he's just read everything that's pertinent to what he needs in his life.
Right.
So
yeah.
I would say one of my favorite pictures of friendship in literature, I'll share that since you didn't ask. But in John Steinbeck's East of Eden, the relationship between Samuel and the main character. I'm going blank on his name.
I don't know.
Adam. Anyway, that relationship, I think it shows kind of what friendship is meant to be. So that's a good one. Read East of Eden. That's a good one. And then what I'm reading right now is a book called Write Better. I think that's what it's called.
So why don't you tell everybody where you are Because you're writing PhD stuff, huh?
I am writing things, and so what I have been reading lately has all been PhD related. But right now, I'm reading this book called Write Better or something like that. It's written by a IVP, InterVarsity Press editor, about the art of writing and the art of craft. And basically, his thesis is there's too many bad Christian writers, and God has called us to write. We need to do it well. Mm-hmm. So
I would agree.
Yeah, I think so. So I am in the writing phase. I'm about 20 pages or so into my first chapter. So very early on, but hopefully I will be finishing up one of these days.
I'm sure you will. We're at 30 minutes now. Tell them goodbye.
All right. We had to, it's been so long since we've done a podcast, I had to refresh what I'm supposed to say here. we have enjoyed you being here. Until next time, keep loving your imperfect church. And remember, one day she will be perfected in glory.
Good job.